This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama and then our feature, Justice and Peace. I am John Baptist Tumosime. On Tuesday, Pope Francis issued a message on X, the former Twitter, saying that encountering people sharing a gaze and our stories is the closeness of Jesus that we are called to live. An encounter, the Pope said, can change a life. He noted that the gospel is filled with encounters with Jesus that uplift and heal. The head of the Holy See's permanent observer mission at the United Nations in New York, Archbishop Gabriel Kacha, has told the United Nations Forum on Forests that the Holy See strongly supports a holistic approach to the stewardship of the environment. Archbishop Kacha was speaking on Monday in New York at the Forum's 19th session. He noted that Pope Francis has consistently called for an integral ecology, which recognizes the intrinsic value of creation and promotes a culture of care and respect for our common home, which God has entrusted to us. An integral ecology, he said, refers to the interconnectedness of all creation and calls for an integrated approach to environmental, social, and economic challenges. In the context of forests, he added, it means recognizing that they are simultaneously vital ecosystems, sources of economic livelihoods, carbon sinks, reservoirs of biodiversity, and key elements of social well-being. He warned that caring for the environment cannot be separated from concern for human well-being, pointing out that forests are not only sources of biodiversity and natural resources, but also engines of sustainable development, providing livelihoods, clean water, and climate regulations for millions of people around the world. It is therefore essential, he said, that all actions related to forests are directed towards the integral development of forest-dependent people, including in areas related to poverty eradication and food security. Archbishop Kacha reiterated the Holy See's position that expanding protected areas and promoting sustainable forest management can conserve biodiversity, mitigate climate change, and ensure the long-term viability of forests for future generations, and called for the socio-economic realities of local populations to be adequately taken into account. Over 200 participants are scheduled to gather in Rome from May 16th to May 18th for the International Conference on Sports and Spirituality. The conference is organized by the Vatican and the French Embassy to the Holy See. Sports has always had a connection with the spiritual dimension of the human person, and on several occasions, different popes have emphasized this. Participants will seek to understand why sports is so popular today, identify risks, assess their relevance for building a more fraternal, tolerant, and fair society, and discern how God manifests himself in sports competition. The GW Interservices, a clearing, forwarding, and procuring company of the Uganda Catholic Bishops' Conference, has sent a letter notifying Catholic dioceses in Uganda to be prepared for a scarcity of altar wine, which is used in the celebration of Holy Mass. In the letter, the director of the company, Father Alfred Asiku Tulu, said due to the ongoing fighting in the Middle East, the movement of ships in the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea were suspended and others have been cancelled altogether. The ships now take a long route through the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean, which has caused delays in the arrival of the altar wine in the port of Mombasa in Kenya, which supplies Uganda. Father Asiku calls upon the diocesan administrations to use sparingly the little wine they still have in their stores. The delivery ships are expected to arrive in Mombasa before the end of this month. The Apostolic Nuncio to Liberia, Archbishop Walter Elby, has told the newly ordained Archbishop of Monrovia, His Grace Gabriel Jubwe, to always look to Jesus as his guide in his ministry. He made the remark on Saturday during the ordination ceremony. He said a good bishop is one who puts the Lord at the center of his life, one who listens, and one who takes care of the poor and those in need. Archbishop Elby called upon the faithful to pray for the new archbishop so that God may guide him to carry out his pastoral duties faithfully. And lastly, the special rapporteur on the rights of migrants, Jehad Madi, and other experts have called upon European Union member states to stop the detention of child migrants because this is a violation of a child's rights. We have a report.
In their appeal to the EU bloc, experts including Gerhard Madi, Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Migrants, insisted that detention of children because of their parents' migration status was always a violation of their rights. The development comes as the European Union's 27 members prepare to implement a new pact on migration and asylum, pending its approval by the EU Council in Brussels. The measures, which are expected to come into effect in 2026, include the creation of national mechanisms to monitor respect for human rights during the screening of migrants and asylum seekers at country borders. Asylum seekers should not be penalised for exercising the right to seek asylum, and migration should not be criminalised, the independent experts said in a statement. Matt Wells, UN News.
You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
I am Father Paul Samasumo. In South Africa, rescue teams worked throughout the night searching for dozens of construction workers buried for more than 12 hours under the rubble of concrete after a multi-story apartment complex that was being built collapsed. The collapsed building under construction happened Monday afternoon in the city of George, about 400 kilometers east of Cape Town on South Africa's southern coast. Authorities said Tuesday that the death toll had risen to 5. 49 workers remained buried in the mangled wreckage of the building. 21 workers had been rescued from the rubble and taken to various hospitals. More than 100 emergency personnel and other responders were on the scene using sniffer dogs to try and locate workers, some of whom were trapped under huge slabs of concrete that fell on them when the five-story apartment came down. At least 107 migrants, including women and children, have been freed from captivity in a town in southeast Libya. This is according to a Libyan security force spokesperson. The spokesperson, Walid Al-Rafi, speaking in the city of Benghazi, said according to the accounts of the migrants, some of them had been held in captivity for up to 7 months. The migrants are from various sub-Saharan African countries, but mainly from Somalia. The migrants had been on their way to Europe when they were captured by some Libyan militia. We raided a hideout in downtown Kufra last night, and we found illegal migrants, including women, children, and old men. Many of them had signs and marks of torture, including bullet wounds, Arolafi said. In a video released by the authorities, some of the migrants were seen carried towards an ambulance by aid workers. The migrants have since been handed over to the Libyan Illegal Migration Agency for processing. Kufra, the city where the migrants were freed from, is about 1,700 kilometers from Libyan capital of Tripoli. Libya is a transit route for migrants fleeing conflict and poverty in Africa to Europe via the dangerous routes across the desert, the Sahara Desert, and the Mediterranean Sea. The CEO of cryptocurrency exchange Binance on Tuesday accused Nigeria of setting a dangerous precedent after its executives were invited to Nigeria and then detained as part of a crackdown on cryptocurrency fraud. Binance, the world's largest crypto exchange, said two of its executives faced separate trials of tax evasion and money laundering in Nigeria, which the company is challenging. The company's CEO, Richard Teng, said in a statement it was time to speak out against the detention of Tigran Gambaryan, a U.S. citizen and Binance's head of financial crime and compliance. The other executive, Nadim Anjarawalla, a British Kenyan, fled Nigeria in March. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Justice and Peace. It was all jubilation at the now Tangaza University last Thursday, May 2nd, when the government of Kenya granted the institution a charter that changed its status from a university college to a full autonomous Catholic university with the powers and rights to award academic titles. The institution was founded in August 1986 by 22 Catholic religious congregations, but had since then existed as a college affiliated to the Catholic University of Eastern Africa. Hundreds of current and former students turned up last Thursday at the institution's campus in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, to celebrate the achievement of the charter. The feasting was preceded by a Thanksgiving Holy Mass presided over by the Archbishop of Nairobi, His Grace Philip Anyolo. The homily was delivered by the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Garissa, the Right Reverend George Mutaka. In an interview with the Vatican Radio last Saturday, Bishop Mutaka explained the priorities of the institution when it began and more.
Initially, when it began, it was meant to be a formation for the religious who were preparing for priesthood. And over the years, I think an interest came up whereby other people wanted to come and join. And after that, then now it was open to various groups, even lay people who come there to take different courses at the university. So the initial plan was to have it as a formation for the theologians who are preparing for priesthood from the member congregation. But over the years, other programs were introduced which were of interest to lay people who came to join, and they are part now of the institution, yes.
The mass that was celebrated there on Thursday was a Thanksgiving mass because Tangaza was granted a charter by the government of Kenya. Now, you tell us, what does that charter mean?
Tangaza was begun almost 40 years ago, and it became a constituent college of the Catholic University of Eastern Africa. And a few years ago, the government came up with an act of education which stated clearly that a constituent college of a university can not continue indefinitely being a constituent college. So eventually, it has either to become a university on its own, or it has to be done away with. And that is why now the superiors came and they said, in that case, now we have to decide whether we want to move ahead and become a university on our own. And the superiors at that time agreed that they should explore the possibility of being a university. And so the process started, and it has taken quite some years. And therefore, on Thursday then, the government gave the charter, whereby now Tangaza became a university, and therefore it was a great day for the university, and that is why they decided to have the Thanksgiving Mass. And in fact, on that particular day, two events were happening. A team of Tangaza were at the State House, where the president resides. They went there to get the charter, and some of us remained at Tangaza premises, whereby we celebrated this mass in Thanksgiving, and then they came later in the afternoon, and so together we had a celebration.
So that means now that after this Chatham, Tangaza, yes, which has now become a university, the academic titles now it offers are recognized also by the Kenyan state.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. That is the importance now, that the certificates that will be offered at Tangaza University will not only be recognized by the Kenyan state, but globally, because it's recognized by the government. So anywhere, anybody who has a certificate from the University of Tangaza, it will be acceptable all over the world.
In your homily, you called upon the teaching staff at Tangaza to promote Catholic education. What is the nature of Catholic education?
When the leadership of the university requested me to say a few words in my homily about this particular day and what was happening, I reflected about my homily, and of course I said the first point that came to my mind was it was an occasion to thank God for what God has done for Tangaza, because we had been waiting for this charter for many years, and He had eventually opened doors for us. And therefore, the first point I reminded the congregation was that we have to give thanks to the Lord, whom we know that He is the source of all good that happened. And by getting a charter, this is something good, and therefore we ought to thank the Lord. But then I also reflected, in as much as we got the charter, there is always a danger that a Catholic institution might lose its focus and it become more academic, and then it forgets the Catholic identity. And therefore, I was reminding them about what it means to be a Catholic institution and what is the nature of a Catholic education. And I looked at some of the documents, but what impressed me very much was what St. John Paul II said to an association of educators who had gone to see him in 1979. He spoke about Catholic education and why it is important for everybody to make all efforts to support and defend and even expand access to authentic Catholic education. He said that Catholic education is above all a question of communicating Christ or helping others to form Christ in their lives. What this means is that Catholic education is not all about intellectual formation, but it is all about forming the whole person, intellectually, spiritually, so that they can come closer to Christ, who is the truth. And also I reminded them that when we form people in our Catholic education, we are not only forming them to do very well, to get academic certificates, which are very important, but at the end of the day, we have to form the person to know Christ, to know the truth, and also to make a positive contribution to the society. Catholic education has to be holistic. It has to form the whole person, so that it not only helps the person personally, but also it helps somebody to make a positive contribution in the transformation of the society. It's all about the common good and also the betterment of the society, and also the personal good of the person.
You also mentioned something very important, introducing students to critical, logical, and analytical thinking. Is this something that is lacking in educational programs in Kenya or in Catholic institutions?
Exactly. I don't want to blame the social media squarely on this problem, but I think what I have seen, let me talk about Kenya. I was reminding the congregation that when you look at most of the institutions, they speak about forming leaders. And in fact, after the mass, I was talking to the school leadership, and they told me they have a program about leadership. But then what we find at the end of the day is that actually we are not forming leaders. And I cited for them a good example. Like at the moment, Kenya, we are going through a difficult moment because we have heavy rains and the infrastructure has been destroyed and so on. And of course, we have engineers who have been formed. We have so many people who are qualified. But at the end of the day, we don't see whether they put into practice what they learn. But more importantly, is that the crop of students we have nowadays, most of them like to follow people in the social media. They don't take things critically, no. So whatever is happening all over the world, no, political or social issues that are happening, people just surrender to those kind of things that are being thrown to them by the social media. So people are not very critical about issues. And I cited for them the example of LGBTQ. So we find that maybe there is a group in the world, in the society, who are trying to push that agenda. And therefore, if a student is not critical, they will just accept that this is what is supposed to happen. And there might be some people there with a lot of money who are trying to sell their own ideology. And therefore, if one is not critical, they are going to buy into those ideas, some which are not very positive. And therefore, that's why I was reminding the faculties that it is important that they are able to introduce to the students the importance of being critical in whatever they hear, so that they don't just take it wholesale, but they are able to analyze and to see what is legitimate and valuable, no, not just to be moved emotionally and to accept whatever is offered to them.
I understand you are an old student of Tangaza College.
Yes.
How did you find it?
Yes, I was in Tangaza. I graduated there in the year 2003, and I'm a proud former student of Tangaza. After I became a bishop, they approached me, and they told me, we would like you to be a member of the Council of Tangaza so that you can help us to make sure that we maintain the Catholic identity and we don't lose it. And so I've been a member of the Tangaza now University Council. Initially, when I was there, that was the time they started to bring lay people and to introduce different programs at Tangaza. At that time, people were a little bit apprehensive. Maybe it is not good for the seminarians to mix with the laity and so on and so on. But I think for me, I found it to be something positive because we are forming these seminarians, these religious, to go and work with the lay people out there. And therefore, we just separate them from the lay people. They are going to encounter the same people in the parish or wherever they will be working. And therefore, I found this a very positive component, that we integrate the laity and the seminarians, the religious, so that they get used to working together. And I think that is what even Holy Father has been talking about, the issue of synodality, that we have to journey together. And so I'm very proud of the steps that Tangaza has taken, and I am very positive that Tangaza will make a very good contribution in producing great leaders for the church, and not only for the church, but also for the society. Leaders who will have values and who will be able to transform the society wherever they will be. So I am very positive about Tangaza University.
I was very much impressed when I looked at the academic staff. The staff is well balanced, comprising of lay, religious, and priests, with very high qualifications.
Yes.
Now, returning to the point about fearing to mix lay students with the seminarians, religious, and priests to study together in the same institution, I come from Uganda and I did my studies in Rome at the Angelicum University, the Salesian University, and the Gregorian University. All of them are Catholic institutions. But here, seminarians, religious, and priests frequent the same institutions and mix freely in the lecture halls.
Yes.
They come to know one another and become friends. I think there are still many things that we need to outgrow in Africa. And one of them is that lay people are a danger to seminarians, religious, and priests.
Exactly. I think this is the concept that has been there, that the seminarians have to be protected, they have to be on their own. But I think, as you have said, from your experience there, even in Rome, you have students coming from all over, laity, the religious, the priests coming together. I think Tangaza is a good example. Initially, it was begun by the member congregation. They were all religious. But you see now they have opened their lay people there. In the staff, I've met them, some very good people and who love the institution very much. And also we even have diocesan priests who are members of the staff. Then we have the religious. We have women. We have men. And so I think I'm very happy with the direction that Tangaza has taken. And I think what is important for us is that we maintain that Catholic identity, and then we work together as a team, and I think Tangaza will go very far.
Our thanks there to Bishop George Mutaka, the Ordinary of Garissa Catholic Diocese. He was speaking there from the Kenyan town of Garissa. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Health and Healing and our segment on the Synod on Synodality. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.